Hello, everybody. Welcome again to another episode of Best of Five, where I'm having audio issues, I guess, today. Also, I think I hear automatic now. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
There we go.
There we go. We're getting there. Welcome back, Automatic, to Best of Five. Man. So, Automatic and I, a little bit earlier, we played this little game called Chained Together. And boy, that was an experience.
I was just watching a clip you posted on Twitter.
Dude.
It looks pretty sick. It looked like, from you know, not being there, I was like, wow, it looks pretty cool, pretty sick. But when I'm in the mix, bro, I stretch for a second and my pits. I usually don't have a pit sweat problem. But playing that game, I was all clammy. I was just, and I had a weird sensation in my nether regions too. Not going to hold you.
Okay. I mean, you know, maybe you should get that checked out. No, I'm just
not
kidding.
Not a joke.
No, yeah, for some reason, I understand what you mean. Like, there's something about the game that's just very unsettling. I don't know what it is about it. I think, like, there's, like, the audio of it, or, like, maybe, like, even just the look of it. Like, something about it is just super unsettling. So, I'm right there with
you. Yeah, the teamwork as well. Because we're kind of just queuing off of each other. Because you can't really say, all right, 1, 2, 3, go for everything.
Yeah.
So, you kind of have to react to how you're how everybody else is moving, too.
So, it's that and, like, since we were doing the voice chat, like, there's delay in the voice chat on top of that. And then there's the input delay in the game. Like, you know, we always like complaining about input delay in video games as fighting game players. That game was fucking hilarious. Also, driving that car was not that bad. You said driving the car was real bad. I don't know, man. I like driving that car.
I think the way it turned, it wasn't as sharp as I expected. It always turned at the same degree every time. So if you're trying to turn off of something and turn sharper, it won't let you do it. So you just got to accept the way things are.
Yeah, it's like instead of a steering wheel, it's just a button. Right. No, it was real fun. That was earlier today, and this is Best of Five. As you guys saw, we have Tento, the voice, the host of Final Combat, and all-around amazing commentator and player, is hanging out. He's in the green room right now. We have him, Evian water, we have all of he wanted just the red M&Ms, so we got him a pack of just red M&Ms. He's being very well taken care of, and he'll be joining us a little bit later in the show. Before that, Automatic, it's almost Tuesday.
Oh, yeah?
It's almost Tuesday. It's almost Tuesday. It's not Tuesday until Bison gets here. Yeah, it's not Tuesday until Bison gets here.
Okay, all right, I see. But tonight, I think he might be playable in training mode, you know? Like, they usually take the systems down for maintenance, and then the next day, they open it up so you can play them online.
Yeah.
So I might be streaming tonight.
Yeah, so the servers...
I don't know why they brought a tear to my eye, but... I got choked up.
that the thought of playing tonight?
Michael Bibson, I've been waiting this whole time.
Really. The servers go down at 8 p.m. Pacific, which is 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. And they're expected to be down for about 4 hours. But I know what you're saying. Yeah, when they take the servers down... If they dispatch the update, usually you can get a hold of the character in training mode and offline before the servers go back live.
I don't remember if I purchased the season patch or not yet.
The season 2 pass?
Yeah, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, I think the
release between Akuma and Bison was so little in duration that I just was like, yeah, I'll get it later.
Yeah, and something else that I thought of today. So we talked a little bit about this when we were playing games earlier. I think I had my first good day of Street Fighter VI in like a year, where I actually did well. The Jamie whiff punishes were all there. I now understand why people walk backwards in this game. It's because they're just waiting for other people to drive rush, so they're trying to get space to react. Things are coming together. But I thought of this as I was playing. There's no season pass before Bison comes in that they did for every other character last year, where they would have like the like the week of, like the week before they release the character, they have like the little season pass where you can play games and you can unlock like costume parts, you can unlock emotes and all this other stuff, blah 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 blah.
Really?
Yeah, there was no Bison season pass thing this time around. So
maybe he just lost his appeal. He's not as boss mode, he's not as like important anymore. Maybe it's lore related. Who knows?
It's too much of a boomer for a season pass. yeah, I found that very weird. But you know what's crazy is these past couple of weeks, Capcom has been drip feeding a lot of quality of life changes that they're bringing to the new patch of Street Fighter VI, including a post that they posted like 2 minutes before I hit the setup button that I wound up catching. And they showed this off. Check this out. Oh, it's probably better with audio, huh?
Nah. Just make it in black and white, too. Put some subtitles on it. Here comes a new
challenger. So you can now edit the audio of the challengers list. And they have it all the way.
I hope they do a lot more of this.
Yeah, and the one we didn't hear before was the very first one. And I fucked up the audio again.
That's for boomers. I like it.
But yeah. So they have they're letting you set which sound, and it goes from one all the way through five. Something about hearing the Street Fighter 4 one like caused like nom flashbacks in my brain. It was like I had to just sit there and be like, holy shit, that's a video game I played a lot of.
Yeah, you know, this is cool for me is that was a great sentence structure. What I like about this is that I haven't done any of the jukebox mode settings at all because I just play Spotify, you know, I just had the music off anyways. But this makes me want to like at least tinker around with it and see how you even access it, which I still may not even do it because still play Spotify, but that may encourage more people to take a look at it. And I just in general like that they're adding more of these, like, not really Easter eggs, but just additions. It just kind of feels like they're looking out for you. Like, they might like this. Put that in there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's also you're asking how to change this. It is in the video. So when you go to your matchmaking settings, you can just choose on customized challenge which sound you want.
Ah. And that's for you to hear, not for your opponent?
I believe it is for you to hear. And I think it's set per character. So, for example, I bought all of like the Street Fighter Alpha soundtrack because I think that soundtrack is really cool. And I replaced some of the Manon tracks and some of the Jamie tracks on it, initially thinking that it was only for my character. However, every time I fight a Jamie or a Manon, Street Fighter 4 Geef music starts playing when Manon shows up. Honestly, that's my favorite thing. I love that song. It's so bad, it's good. But I wonder if it's like a per setting character that only you see. So like, for example, if you choose the Third Strike sound and I choose the Street Fighter 4 sound and I challenge you, you're probably going to hear the Third Strike sound. But if you challenge me, I'm going to hear the Street Fighter 4 sound.
I think it'd be better that way if your opponent chooses to hear like what, because then you would identify who it is. You would see their artwork and the music and know exactly who it is. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like more ways of like kind of putting in your, like a little bit of your own personality on there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it can be hard to find it in some of the aspects, but at least we can do it in the character, you know, ready up screen.
Yeah. It's a step forward. It's a step forward. The other thing they're letting you do, and this is cool. So, it's no secret that, you know, I'm a big fan of the Battle Hub and I like just going. Like, whenever I see a friend online out and they're in the Battle Hub, I'll just go and, like, wave high and then go away. They're adding the cheering, different cheering emotes. So whenever you're – oh, boy, that is so small. Jeez, that's what she said. Where is the thing? Oh, my God. Okay, here we go. So they're adding different cheer emotes for when you're spectating. So if you're in the Battle Hub and you're spectating a cabinet, your character is usually just like next to the cabinet, just going, yeah, like everybody else, like pumping their fist. Now you get to customize that a little bit with all of your other cheering emotes and such, which I think is pretty cool. I think that's gonna, you know, much like you said, like it's like it just gives it like a little bit of a little bit of variance, you know,
a little flair, a little pizzazz.
Yeah, pizzazz. The juge. The juge. Yeah, the pizzazz. The juge. Which is pretty cool, and you know, like I said, I like the Battle Hub, so seeing more stuff in the Battle Hub is cool.
And I know that Samurai Showdown, the 1v1 mode in Samurai Showdown, where it's like a battle lounge kind of thing, you could like play noises while you're watching. You could press a button and it would make a drum go doom doom while the two people are playing. I think that is silly. It's terrible. It's funny amongst friends, but yeah. I like the idea of putting yourself on the screen while people are playing. So like maybe in between rounds, if you could cheer for somebody or like give somebody a little clap applause, that'd be a cool idea.
Wait, could the players hear the people spectating?
Yes. Oh, yes. Wow. So you could spam drum sound effects and yo, while people are playing. It's so egregious. I mean, it's cool, but
man. You know what's really interesting about that is, you know, Street Fighter V had, like, you could do text as a spectator. Like, you could just mash out text. Yeah, you could, like, and they had, like, preset phrases that you could say. But if you were fighting, you didn't see those. If you were spectating, you saw them. And I think Mortal Kombat, like, in the past Mortal Kombats, I don't know about this Mortal Kombat specifically, but in past Mortal Kombats, they had something very similar where you could, like, throw up emotes, et cetera, et cetera. But the people playing had the option to do away with that and focus on the game. But then when you're off, you're just talking shit like everybody else. Hmm. But yeah, like, having stuff like that would be really, really cool, I think. What do you call it? More quality of life changes. There's like, I think they've given us like 7 in total as of right now. This is still really small. That's what she said. You can turn off notifications. So if you're either playing in a tournament or if you're streaming a tournament, as I sometimes do, you can now turn off those dang notifications of like, oh, this player's online. This player challenged you. This player's in the custom rooms, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. So you now have the option to turn off those gosh dang notification settings.
Go on, flab it.
Dang bum it. I don't know. Have those bothered you at all? You're
not particularly, but I think it's a good thing to have for sure.
Yeah, I remember in Street Fighter V, that used to be a huge issue, especially when they were doing tournaments.
Oh, I saw them. Sorry.
I remember that being an issue where, like, if you were playing in a tournament and it was an online tournament, and people found out who was streaming the matches, they would just spam that account with invites, and it would just keep popping up until they turned it off. Yeah, and the
names weren't exactly flattering or very polite.
Yeah. Yeah. But hopefully this will help do away with all of that. And honestly, like, as somebody who winds up streaming tournaments every once in a while, like, that's like the best thing they could have given somebody like me. So I'm a fan.
Anything that's a hurdle that gets in the way of running a tournament and they sort of subtract from that, it's always a good thing.
Yeah. 1000%. Let me see here. Okay. There's more. There's more. And this one I think is going to be, I don't know if this is necessarily a good or bad thing, but I'm interested to see how this will affect the tournament scene, as it were. More quality of life improvements. If you select change match settings in the match result menu, you can reset the win-loss record for offline matches and tournament results. So no more. Gone are the days where you sit down at a cabinet and like, or at a setup at a tournament, and you see like player one has a 20 win streak.
But that's by choice, right? You don't have to reset it.
No, you don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to. But every time you go to change match settings, that'll reset that counter. But man, I remember like watching like Street Fighter 4 tournaments where like there was like player two would have like a 30 win streak, and people would be like, "That's weird." Let me see. What else? Oh, right. Sorry. I pulled up the picture. I pulled up the photo in the background, and it was zoomed in, so I couldn't tell what it was. But now I can. And this is a big one for everybody. For those of you that like watching replays, if you don't like watching replays, you still have to. They're adding one, like a little bit faster playback speed, and they're having a rewind frame button.
Good. That's really good.
Man, I cannot tell you how many times I was watching replays trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing in this game. And I missed it by just that much, and then it couldn't rewind. But now they do. Now you can too.
Yeah, I think before you had to go back a couple seconds and then go like to the point you wanted and then do a frame by frame, but you couldn't do frame by frame and then frame backwards by frame.
Yep.
Which is a lot of, you miss a lot of information like that, and you waste a lot of, well, not a lot of time, but you do waste some time.
Yeah. Yeah, I just remember like trying to rewind and it just never working out for me. Because I by the time it would come back to where I was rewinding from, I would forget what I was doing. but that's just between my brain and I. This one, I was a little surprised to see this next one. But I'm curious to see how this is going to pan out. But another quality of life change they're doing. When a critical arc can be used, the player's health bar will now flash. And the edge of the drive gauge while in burnout is also easier to see, even on darker stages. Has this been an issue for you?
No, as far as the burnout gauge, I never really looked into that too much.
Yeah. And for
I think Aki, her poison mechanic prevents you from seeing whether you were in critical art range or not. So you just kind of had to assume.
Oh, yeah, because whenever you have access to critical art, your health bar turns yellow, right? Like that's that's how I tell. I didn't think about the Aki poison thing. Oh, I guess that gets rid of that problem.
Yeah, that was the fun fact everyone would, you know, spread around. Well, that's good for Aki. That's a that's a nerf to Aki or whatever.
Yeah, that's really funny. But, you know, like making stuff more visible is never a bad thing, I don't think. Unless it like breaks everything else, which I don't think it will. Well, I hope it doesn't.
Fingers crossed.
last but not least, I don't know how you feel about this one, but I didn't think this was an issue until they brought it up. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is cool. They tweeted this out, like, I think last week. There's a training mode shortcut now on the start menu. You can just press square. Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I like that a lot. That saves you a step. No reason. Like the Punch Planet does a really good job of that. As soon as you boot the game up, you can choose for training mode to be the first thing you see. I think that's awesome.
Oh, interesting.
So it's getting closer.
I didn't know that. Yeah, because I was thinking about training mode, and I after I saw that, I actively tried to go to training mode. And it was like, oh, right, you have to go over to fight ground and then wait for that to go up. And then you have to, since it defaults to versus mode, you have to then scroll over to the training mode. And then you have to pick out which one is the actual training mode. But, yeah, no, this is cool, man. And, it's one of those things where, like, you wouldn't think that that's very important, but that saves a lot of time, I think. Especially when you're pissed off after getting beat up by some dumb shit. And you're like, damn, I gotta go lab that. And then you do.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. Like you think it might save you like 20 seconds, but if there's a million people out there who save 20 seconds each time they log into Street Fighter 6 to go to training mode, that's a really big deal.
Yeah. Yep, 1,000%.
Is Aki pretty bad? No, she did have some problems. She had some bad matchups, but now she's super, they buffed her up enough where her bad matchups are pretty close now. So people are complaining about her like JP, like that's how she is right now. She's super good.
Her conversions are just fucking crazy, man. Like if you have the drive rush meter and you're poisoned, you're dead. And you get hit, it's over.
Yep.
It's Jover. Aside from these quality of life changes, like are you expecting anything from this upcoming patch?
Like any balance changes?
Maybe
if
not balance.
If there are any.
Yeah, they haven't announced any balance changes.
That's the thing I'm the most concerned with, but like hearing the quality of life stuff is really good news. It shows that they're paying attention and they're doing more than just cleaning up like some messes here and there. They're building on what they have and making it better. As far as like any balance changes for the characters, at the most, I expect that they will do the kind of changes that will be not even written in patch notes, like hidden changes that you have to be like somebody who goes behind the files and finds some really weird bug fix or whatever. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's all pretty good, man. I think they're encouraging that casual side, and the UI side is really good for everybody.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot more content after the drought we were in for so many months. And yeah, maybe after Bison, maybe the next character, they'll start doing some more changes. Who knows?
Yeah. No, there's a part of me that's hoping for another like giant attack thing that they did with Akuma, but with Bison.
Where yeah,
you
yeah, yeah.
Fight the, did you, how much, did you do that at all? The giant attack stuff?
Yeah, I did it. People wanted me to play it. So I did, and I beat it a couple times. Like, oh, yeah, cool. I like that.
Yeah. What's really funny is the AI for that Akuma did not know how to deal with command grabs. So as a Monon player, like, you would just walk up back fierce, like command grab. It was like, you just do that over and over again.
Reminded me of the beta. You can just do drive rush overhead, and then you're like, oh, what's that? Ow. Ryu.
Wait, say that one more time. You cut out a little bit.
A CPU level 8 Ryu? Oh, is that the same thing?
Yeah, where you could just, like, neutral jump any drive rush.
That's on my yeah.
Yeah. Automatic. Any final thoughts before Tuesday arrives in a couple hours?
Well, yeah, I'll be streaming Bison, doing the training mode thing. I just made a document to put everything in there. You can go over to twitch.tv/automatic, type !! guides. You can see all the things that I've written down for all the characters. And I'll be doing that tonight. I'll be whenever it comes out. As long as it's not 3 a.m. If it's 3 a.m., then I'm not going to do it. But if it's 12, I'll do it. Just depends on when the maintenance is over. I'll take a look.
Yeah, so the laboratory is open for business tonight, maybe.
Cool, man. Well, I guess some closing thoughts about the character.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be boringly simple or, you know, have a little bit of sauce. I don't expect him to be extremely complicated. I think the bomb mechanic is going to be the main thing. And how you work their drive gauge while the bomb is active is going to be crucial. His throw okie is going to be crucial, whatever you can do off of that. But because his drive gauge covers so much distance, all you really need is a throw that has enough plus frames and you can work something with it. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'll put it all together.
Yeah. My one concern is just that drive rush, man. they
nah, specifically.
Yeah. The nah, way they showed it in the trailers, man, it looks kind of scary.
He don't have fireball drive rush to back it up. It's just going to be raw drive rush most of the time. I think he's going to be more of a footsie character, to be honest. But like the way that heavy punch looks, scissor kick, and cycle crusher when they have the bomb on it might be good, but I can just see myself uppercutting that if he does it too far away.
Yeah. No, and his scissor kicks are now a motion input, so that'll be an interesting little change. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see how that goes.
The ODU version is safe, I think I recall.
Yeah, I think it's something like that, yeah, where they're punishable. They're like, I think, minus 6 on block? I don't know.
We'll see you in a few hours.
Word. Well, Automatic, we'll say goodbye to you so you can clean up the lab and get everything ready for testing. So.
All right. I was stretching. I was actually yawning right now.
So enjoy your labbing, sir, and we'll for this show, we'll talk about it next week, but we'll be talking before so we can share thoughts and stuff.
Heck yeah.
Word. See you later. Thanks for always, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Pleasure. See you.
Later. All right. And that is Automatic. You can go to twitch.tv/automatic or twitter.com/automatic to go check out everything that he will be doing tonight and tomorrow. And and that'll be a lot of fun. Now, ladies and gents, I saw Ham Jams over here a little bit earlier freaking out about Midwest being mentioned. Also, hello, Ham Jams. I hope you're doing well out there. Dude, Ham Jams beat me up with his geef the other day, and I got so pissed. I got so pissed, dude. I got so pissed. He hit me with, like, empty jump. It was like a double empty jump SPD that, like, I turned off the game. Like, he jumped in at me, and then I parried because I have this bad habit of parrying jump-ins. But instead of, like, just doing the SPD then, he jumped again, and he landed with enough time to get me with an SPD before the parry went away. Oh, that killed me. But anyway, Midwest, we got your guy in the house. We have the wonderful Tento is here. Tento, you ready? Yeah, he's giving me the thumbs up. All right, ladies and gents, the voice of Final Combat. The host of Final Combat, all-around commentator extraordinaire, Tampa Never Sleeps, Tento. Tento, how you doing, man?
I'm all good. Hope everybody can hear me loud and clear. Make sure the audio is looking fine. Do I sound good?
Yeah, you sound good. Okay. You look good. No complaints. You're making me look bad, so you're doing well.
I can never do that. You got a nice bandana, bro. I want that bandana, man.
I'm trying to remember. I bought like a bunch of them because like I've been on this like 80s kick right? So I bought like a bunch of bandanas, like, and headbands and shit. Like, I even have a Karate Kid one. Yeah, it all spawned from me watching Kurt Russell movies. I think Kurt Russell. But Tento, so what are your thoughts about Bison coming up? You're a Street Fighter 6 guy.
You know, I was one of those dudes that was mad about it because I'm like, he's dead. Like, why is he coming back? I know they'd be like, it's a video game. You know, they can bring it back whenever they. Bro, you have so many rooms for so many other characters, bro. Mm-hmm. I want to see Hugo, goddammit. I want to see Abel. Like, I want to see some. We don't want to see El Frote with fucking Drive Rush at all. But, like, I really feel like we already had a boss character being Akuma already come back. Like, I feel like that was throwback enough. Now you give us two boss characters here. I'm like, I know y'all got love for the character and he got a lot of favoritism, but like me personally, I'm just like, bro, you could have got someone else, bro. Like,
yeah, I'm with you. I feel like, especially, man, like being announced next to like some crazy ass characters like Terry and Mai. It's like Terry, Mai, yeah, Elena, and then all of a sudden everybody's like, "Oh no, PTSD from from Street Fighter 4."
Like Elena, Jesus Christ,
and then Bipson.
Like I just truly like you know what's crazy? I might even get like crucified for this, but I even take Yun, bro. Like honestly, like please, why Bison? That's just me personally. I'm sorry, guys, but that's just how I feel about it, bro. We got to accept what we got. But Terry and May being in there is really, really cool in my opinion.
That's crazy.
Like, that is definitely, like, that's definitely making people think about, like, the crossovers that could happen in the future, especially if it can bring in maybe possibly Tekken characters or more characters from other SNK type of things. It's a beautiful thing, in my opinion. I know some people get upset about guest characters, but I think about, with those two being added, the possibilities can actually grow with certain characters that I know people would like to be as guest characters. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, and seeing Capcom and SNK working together again is like such a huge deal after like the fallout after CVS. So yes. maybe there is hope for the future. I don't know. These past couple weeks, man, with the MVC thing and now with the SVC thing, like future's looking bright. And
then
for the
game Market of Wolves, I think it's Market of Wolves, that game too. That game looks amazing as well. Yeah. So like. We're in a prime time fighting game era, like all fighting games around. Like I'm a fighting game lover, we're in a good place. Like we got Market of Wolves, we got Project L. I'm not calling it 2SKL, fuck that name. And we just have like so many good fighting games that's going to be coming out in the future. Like we're just in a good position, like truthfully.
Yeah, no, I've been calling that the project formerly named L, or formerly known as L. But actually, so before we get into recent stuff, I want to kind of dig into like your start in the FGC, and this actually lines up with I had some people submit some questions in our Discord. And if you're outside of the Discord and you want to join the Best of Five Discord, you can go to discord.bestofeshow.com. You can hop in there. But I was saying that to the chat. Now you don't have to be in there unless you want to.
I want to be in there.
Yeah, it's a cool hang. PB Tuft, who's one of our producers here, he helps out with a bunch of stuff in the back, behind the scenes. He wanted to know.
Always in the background, working so hard. All you guys in production are amazing.
Yeah, dude. It's hit. We have him. We have Blue, who runs the AFGC Twitter. So we're very lucky that Blue is like our social media and YouTube manager. Like we're all just kind of like, it's like a group of like misfits like working together towards a greater goal. It's really fucking cool. But anyway. We have a question for you. And like, what was the first fighting game that really like kind of grabbed your attention that made you a fighting game person?
Well, if you guys don't know, I am based as a Mortal Kombat commentator. So It's two answers to that. So Mortal Kombat Armageddon was the first like fighting game where I was like, I had started heavily investing myself in Mortal Kombat when I was a kid, when I was playing that. I hate Mavado still to this day because how much torture he put me through as a child. But the fighting game that actually got me into the FGC wise was actually Street Fighter 4. So I don't know if you remember, but Xbox had the thing with Xbox 360, had Xbox games free with gold every month. They gave us Street Fighter 4 for free. And me and my group of friends in high school all like started playing it. But me and one of my other friends, me and him kind of like deep dove into it. And like we really learned. I learned about like frame data, like how the health, different health bars work. And I was on Shoryuken.com. I know I just did a throwback for some people. Looking at every goddamn tournament every weekend. And every weekend I made sure I had my homework and everything done. And I'm watching Canada Cup, SCR, NCR, Topanga. Any tournament I can watch and I had the availability to watch it, I was just watching any of them. So Street Fighter 4 was definitely that fighting game where I was like, yeah, I kind of want to dive into this FGC stuff.
Hell yeah. And you mentioned Deception, man. That I think that was also like the first like Mortal Kombat game where I was like, whoa, fighting games are deep.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm right there. Dude, yeah. Also, like was Deception the one with Conquest? With the Conquest.
Yeah, Deception. Deception introduced Conquest. I didn't play Deception. I played Armageddon.
More. Oh, Armageddon. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all good. Deception is the one that introduced Conquest. Yes, but I played Armageddon the most when I was younger because I just loved. I hope they bring Conquest back and it had Motor Combat.
Dude,
like,
Motor.
The go karts. Like that shit was amazing. I played the hell out of that. Like, dude, truthfully,
I wouldn't doubt that we may have played because I played on so much that like I had a core group of friends that we met through just Mortal Kart, Combat Kart. It was just Combat Kart, nothing else. We would just hang out, play the shit out of it. And then, like, once we all started getting PlayStation 3, so then we switched to PlayStation 3 and we started playing games there. So, like, if it wasn't for Kart Combat or whatever the hell it was called, I wouldn't have a core group of friends.
They need to bring that back. And Conquest. Those are two things. Like, Conquest would be really nice as a story. And Mortal Kombat is just like, that's just a nice little fun activity. Even Chess Combat, bring that back. Dude, like, chess, yeah, it's nice to have like side, like, it's great having side mini games that you can play with your games. It's whatnot. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some people that literally play some, like, exclusively get some games just for the mini games that they have on the side. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think I played Motor Combat like way more than I actually played Armageddon in general.
Literally, so, like, yeah. Same for me. Like, I love the Conquest, but don't get me wrong. But like, I was with my cousins and we were in the living room playing. We're taking turns playing Motor Combat against each other. So
yeah,
yes, please do like bring that back.
I want to see more of that, please. And also, I think they had like a puzzle combat too.
Yeah, it was like puzzle, chess, and then motor, and then there was one other thing I think I forget into. But yeah, they had like those mini games. Like, we lost that art. Yeah. Is everyone think about fighting? Like, there's so many good mini games. Like, Street Fighter 6 kind of does that too. With the stream battles is actually really like fucking fun. Like, I actually like the stream battles. That's actually Street Fighter 6, and they have like plenty of content. It's like when you go into the battle hub, they get like Mega Man and whatnot that you can play on the side. Bring the stuff like that. That's really cool. That is really cool. Bring stuff like that back.
And it's crazy that it like it makes you play the game for longer, because when you're getting pissed off at the fighting game, you could just go do something else.
You literally go someplace else. You can beat up a car, okay? You can beat up a goddamn car. That is amazing. Like, bro, forget this insurance. It's too high. Beat the car. Like, that's amazing.
Don't beat up your controller. Beat up the car.
Exactly.
So I wanted to ask, and I love asking this question to commentators because I feel like it gives me a little insight into how your brain works. But with doing commentary, do you see fighting games different now that you're a commentator?
Yes and no. Yes, because like, of course, I had to you know, explain some situations that happened on the screen to some people, and I'm really big on like trying to accommodate for the casual audience that like a lot of people know fighting games button mashing. They know the basis of it's one of the easiest things to watch when it comes to like gaming wise because it's like whoever health bar goes down first, they lost. But explaining a deep dive into it, that's when it kind of gets complicated. But at the same time, I'm still having fun with it. You know, like it's still like it's a thing I love to do. And I'm just happy to be here type thing. Like, I'm just happy to like be in a position where I can just commentate and give like entertainment to people that has the same passion as me. I can just talk about it. So that's why I was just saying that. It's just like, yeah, yes and no. Like, I had to explain things, but like because I'm still having a good time while doing it, you know?
Yeah. Do you think it's changed how you play the game?
A tad. It's certain things I think about scenario. Like, when I think about why, my biggest thing for commentary is like, I know I could beat somebody's ass in a fighting game. I want to explain to why someone else is getting their ass beat. So, like, I do go into situations where I do a lot of things, like when I stream, we'll watch a tournament, and I'll usually have the game booted up on the side. And in between, like, matches, I'm like, hey, that specific scenario, we're going to lab that really quickly and see what he did wrong, like, in between when they're going to another match, so we can just see, like, that type of thing. Like, what was the decision-making? What was the options? Like, you're like, why would they do that? You put yourself in that situation, like, he was looking out for this. It was a mind game that we didn't notice that they were doing, and that was an option that you didn't think about, but that's what that happened. Like, I do things like that. So, and against of, yeah, it did make me change my gameplay just a tad bit on certain things, because I had to think from the competitor side of me rather than just a commentary slash spectator side of me.
Gotcha. Oh, that's awesome. So how did it feel going from, you know, playing Armageddon to being the host of the finals of the first Mortal Kombat 1 tour season? How'd that whole thing go down?
It was crazy, to be honest, because I'm considered what some people call a quarantine commentator. So, like, during quarantine, you know, like, a lot of people came up during commentary because we had nothing to do. Mm-hmm. So, shout out to MF Slayer. Slayer had the thing called Demon Lobby. Demon Hours, where, like, you know, everyone's sleep schedule was fucked during quarantine. So, at 2 a.m., like, he'll just do a King of the Hill and, like, have random players come through, and they will be just talking about life things, what quarantine day it was, and, like, just be chilling and playing. And then he started doing exhibitions and tournaments during that time, and I started commentating that. And then over time, I got my first ever commentary position was at Frosty. And then I had got my first big break at CEO 2021. Also, an event, a BGX Retribution that was in Philly. Mm. And then that's when I started getting my CEO was really when the ball started moving and I started gaining momentum. And then I just honestly just put myself out there, make sure I'm doing online tournaments, giving back to the community. I don't mean to get too deep, but the community, the FGC quite literally did save my life when I was in a dark time. So my passion for commentary is really just me trying to give back in the way I can with just commentary and just using my voice for entertainment. So, yeah, it's just like the event after the event after the event. And then big shout out to my mentor, Mr. Aqua, Aquaman. He does the Coliseum on YouTube, but he asked me, I want you to co-host with me for MK11. I was doing it with him, and he says, hey, you're doing a really good job. You developed yourself. You're looking pretty good when it comes to the NRS folks. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't think nothing of it. And then NRS Esports ended up following me. I was like, oh, he was serious. They like me. And then MK1 came out, and I got my first offer with ECT when the Pro Comp had started, and they said, you're on the Pro Competition. I was like, oh, shit, this is happening. I did it. They liked me. I was like, I thank you. And then they was like, you know, we want you to be the host. And I was like, huh? They was like, yeah, you know, you don't have the quite seniority yet. You don't have like the experience that, you know, cause you're just starting here, but we don't want to leave you out. So we're going to make you the host for the event. I was like, oh, okay. You're going to interview Ed Boon. Wait, what? Huh? What do you mean I'm interviewing Ed Boon? Yeah, you're interviewing Ed Boon. I was like, oh shit. But I know I don't want to be too harsh on myself when it comes to the hosting, because that was my first ever time hosting. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot to learn, of course, for what it's worth. But I'm happy with the experience I got. I appreciate all the constructive criticism that I got as well. I know I'm not perfect, but I know I could be better. But then again, I'm trying not to be too hard on myself, because it literally was my first hosting. But I had a great time nonetheless. That was my first time traveling outside of the country. I've never traveled anywhere else in the States.
It was in Canada, right?
Yeah, I've never left out the 48 states. I've never been to Hawaii. I've never been to Puerto Rico. I've never left the 48 at all. So that was big for me, too. So it was honestly a great time. And that journey has been a beautiful thing. And I'm very appreciative of all the people that helped me. Shout out to Lowkick, Ham in there, that gave me the opportunities. Aqua, Slayer, Viz, like all of those guys. They really did help me get to where I am.
Hell yeah. Also, just to put this on the record, I think you did a great job hosting Final Combat. Just wanted to put that out.
Appreciate that.
And I'm also like, I have a music background, so like I'm always like super self-deprecating, but like you know what I mean. Like I'm like you, where it's like, oh, I could like this can be improved. Like we can do this better next time, instead of like just
like you
enjoying...
always. Your biggest critique is always like I always tell people it was like you look at yourself and you're always going to be able to point out your flaws in the mirror, but people are not going to see that because they don't see you every day. Yeah. They see you doing your thing and then what you do out there. And they're going to see the best parts of you usually because you present yourself the way you present yourself. You're always going to see the pimple on your forehead because you look at your mirror self every day. And I was like a small little tangent, but like I was at work and I was talking to my coworker, like, hey, you look nice today. And she says, you don't see this fat ass pimple on my forehead? I'm like, no, I didn't notice that until you said it. But since you look at yourself all the time, you are, of course, going to call that out. But I didn't notice that until you pointed it out. And that's a big thing you got to take into account of. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's all like something I've learned recently is like about celebrating your own wins. That's like, for whatever reason, that's the hardest thing to do. So celebrate your win, man. You did a great job at Final Combat. I enjoyed it. I don't know if you did this on purpose, but your deep voice like really fit the mood, especially because it's Mortal Kombat, right? So
yeah, that was definitely a factor. Well, I feel like they felt it was great for certain things when it came to announcing certain parts. And I was looking at the tone. I was so happy during the rehearsal. They gave me the chance to go out there and then get on the stage and whatnot. I'm seeing the presence of the stage. And I was like trying to coordinate with also my outfits as well. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I got to, I'm in a tone of like this, especially like when I gave up the idea. I'm like, wait, can I sit in that chair? Can I get a book? And can I like read like a story? Is that cool? Can I do that? And because like we're looking at the tail unfold of Final Combat to see who's going to be the first champion. That's why I got out the book and read that as well. So I'm very happy that people like those segments. I had a little say in that. Because like I said, we don't give like there's so many people behind closed doors, behind the scenes that people don't recognize, like production wise. Shout outs to the production crew out there. They really were accommodating me so well. Any small fire that was there, they put it out quickly. They were very informative, very helpful. I appreciate them so much. Production is just such an underrated thing. And they're so, yeah. They're just great guys. That was just a great ass team I worked with.
And that's really good to hear. Also, like, I'm really happy that you weren't shy about having ideas. And I say that because I work in esports, right, outside of this show. Mm. And man, like, esports is so boring. It's just the same shit over and over again. It's like, you know, like, there's even like the esports pose. Right? That's so I'm, su- thing, I'm super. Yeah, so I'm super happy that A, you had the idea, and B, that they were like so cool to work with you on those, and like just to make it a little bit cooler, man. Because that set looked so damn cool.
That artwork. I forgot to meet the person that actually made that artwork for all the skeletons. Like they drew that themselves. I was like, God damn, that it was so good. Mr. Aqua, he said, I want that Matara one so bad, so I made sure I had to save it for him too. Like, they were such good artwork, so good to people. Don't tell anybody this, but I got the medal.
Ooh.
They had an extra one they gave it to me. I was like, ha.
Oh, that's
I'm
sick.
A Final Combat champion.
Dude, you did it. You won. You won the hosting of Final Combat. You're the best one.
No, big shout out to Sonic Fox. They did a great job out there. Breaking the competition. They're just so dope. They're just amazing, truthfully. But yeah, it was just like really, it was a great time being out there and meeting so many people. That's the big thing I love about the FGC so much is the fellowship. Like, there's so many good people I like to meet. I don't ever look at a tournament as like a job or like work. And like people like, oh, they stress like, oh, I gotta win. I'm like, no, remember, you joined the community because you want to have fun and play with your friends. And I'm just happy with the people I've met along in this journey. I've met some amazing ass fucking people. I can say I have at least one friend a part of at least one continent, part of every part of the world. Like, that's amazing. Like, truthfully.
Yeah, for sure. No, and that's, you know, like finding a community of everybody who's like so passionate about the same thing you are is so important. But I wanted to go back to another question from our Discord. This is from Squidly, who's hanging out in the chat as well.
What's going on, Squidly? Shout out to chat.
Yeah, the chat's hanging out. Like, Ham Jams is in here. We had Ham Jams on the show a couple weeks ago. I think it's been a couple months now at this point. Man, time is flying. But
their time is flying, goddammit.
Yeah, dude, like, July is next week. I'm dead. I'm gonna die. I'm kidding. Maybe. I'm joking.
You better not.
No, I'm joking. If I can help it, I'm not doing it. Okay. But what was your favorite part about hosting and Final Combat?
Definitely the fellows. Like me, there was so many people. You get to watch the whole season, and then finally meeting them for the first time. Like meeting Face Out from Lebanon. Meeting Soul School from Australia and seeing like everyone come together for the thing they love is just a beautiful sight. And seeing Canada and like exploring was actually very good too. That was my first time, like I said, in Toronto. So I was able to see the streets, meet the team. The matches were amazing, high level gameplay. And it's just a beautiful sight to see like we were like being in quarantine for so long and then how a lot of like world tour events in general have been cut back. And people finally get to see the peak of all offline. Like, for example, Sonic Fox didn't play too much during that quarantine. Mm-hmm. So people was like, okay, this is going to be like this new era. And then Sonic Fox came through and quickly made people realize, hey, I'm still out here. And they are still going to be out there dominating. And people like have that mantle. Like, and it's also cool because we have so many new players as well. Yeah. And that was a good part too. Like, new players meeting the old players. And then like there's some new players like, oh, who's this new guy? I'm like, they've been playing since MK9. You just haven't seen them because they took a break during quarantine from MK11, but like they came back. Like, that's the beauty. Like, I just, people meeting people and seeing different play styles, especially from other communities, seeing how Brazil uses a certain character versus how America uses a certain character. Like, it's, I love it. That's across any fighting game. It's such a beautiful sight. Just truly, it's an art.
Dude, it's like when Pakistan burst into the Tekken scene, right? It's like,
nobody
thought about Pakistan, but sure
enough. I gotta say this real quick. Arston really pissed me off. That man had the nerve to win Evo and got on stage and said, I'm not even the best in my region. I said, what kind of fucking flex? That man literally won Evo and Evo Japan and said, yeah, I'm not even the best in my region. What do you mean you're not the best? That was insane to me.
Dude, it's crazy that like that just turned out to be like this pocket of like crazy ass Tekken. And it's crazy because like that happens a lot in Mortal Kombat too, right? And that was, you know, something you pointed out is like it felt like there were so many people from everywhere playing. I remember watching, what was it? It was the Last Chance qualifier where there was like a couple of representatives from Brazil who like almost made it through the whole thing.
South America is so underrated. And that's the one beauty thing. I know people got mad at the kind of format for MK as well as for Street Fighter 2. Is because I be telling people, like, people don't understand how blessed you are to be in the U.S. because most of the events happen here. And I'm like, I really need your people to understand that, like, there's people that's in South America, that's in Asia, that's in Africa that are begging for, to not even go to, like, a big one like CEO Combo Breaker Evo, to go to an ECT, to go to a Texas Showdown, just to show off their skills because they just don't get the opportunity. There's so many, as someone said in chat, like, there's always bigger fish. Like, there's so many people that are out there that have the ability to win. They just don't have the exposure yet. And, like, I be telling people, like, give it the chance. And that's why I love that both the Pro Tour had regional, like, lock that people were guaranteed from certain regions to come over. Like, for example, Capcom Cup, people was not watching the China region at all of Asia when it came to ICFC. And Uma was dominating.
Yeah.
And then Uma won Combat Go. They was like, oh my God, who is this guy? he was dominating the whole time. Y'all just didn't know about him because he just didn't get the opportunity to come over here. Like, those are the type of things.
Yeah, no, and I grew up in Brazil. So, like, just getting a visa to get to the U.S. from Brazil is, like, it feels like a miracle when it happens. So, like, seeing that many people come from Brazil and, like, really, like, pardon my French, fuck shit up was really sick. It was really sick.
Did a good job because Canada, they made sure that's why they put it in Canada, so the visa was a little easier to process. That's why I'm really glad they did
smart.
That. Like that was that's why they did that. So I was really happy that a lot of the Brazilian community, anybody like it was a smooth sailing for Tekken Master. He had took like a 16-hour flight from Bahrain to Dubai to come here. Like it was like it was really smooth for a lot of them. So I was just grateful that Canada was approved for that. So
yeah. Were there any like, I know this seems like a bit of a loaded or unfair question because I'm sure there were too many to pick. But was there anything that surprised you at Final Combat gameplay wise?
Not really, because like when it came to like the community, one of the strongest communities I feel like is our South American community, especially in Brazil, because. They're so passionate, and especially like the Chilean twins where they come from, like they're so passionate out there. And like, well, my favorite thing I bring up is the Brazilian game show. During the Brazilian game show, everyone thought like all the American players that was going out there was going to be free. It's going to be simple. Bro, there was like in top 32, there was like 12 Sonyas in MK11 that was messing people up from Brazil. And the crowd was so explosive. I was like, I want to go to that event so bad. I want to go to an event in Brazil so bad. Like, there's so much good talent. So like, there's nothing too much surprised me because I knew the caliber of players that was going to come through. I know how hungry some of those players are to prove themselves. Shout out to Gui Exceptional, who won the LCQ. He's from Brazil.
Yeah.
And he did it in a great fashion, to be honest.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. I never knew Mortal Kombat was as big as it is until I moved to the US. I think I grew up in the city. I grew up in Rio, right? So like I didn't have much in the sense of like you know, like I could stay inside and play video games or, you know, go outside and potentially get hurt because it was a dangerous area. So I feel like maybe that's like a shared experience that Brazilians have where it's like, well, I'm inside, I've got Mortal Kombat, this is sick, might as well just keep playing it. Anyway, that tangent. Just my brain.
No. It's completely fine. No, like, definitely, like, that community is amazing. I want to go down there. I hope I get a chance to go out there next year to see them and go out to an event. they definitely asked about it when I was at Final Combat. Some of the Brazilian crew had came up there. I want to go so bad because I want to see that scene, and I want to see, yeah. So I'm going to meet all those people. Like, they're just so great. Like, it's such amazing things out there.
Yeah. It's something I've realized is that, like, they're like people in Brazil, and I'm sure, like, there's a lot of countries outside of the U.S. too. Is like, I don't know what it is. I think it's maybe like a self-protective thing that happens here in the U.S. and some other regions where, like, people are afraid to get excited about stuff, or they're afraid of loving something, right?
Yeah.
Where in Brazil, it's like, even if they don't know what's happening, like, people would just, like, gather in a crowd and just, like, cheer for, like, whatever is happening, right? So, and I know exactly.
Afraid to get frowned upon.
Yeah. And I know exactly.
The people don't like to be the oddball.
Yeah, it's like whatever that fear of, like, rejection or of standing out is like.
Literally, they just don't want to be, like, they don't want to be that oddball out because some people, like, want to be inclusive when it comes. I didn't mean to interrupt, but, like, so many people want to be, like, inclusive in that sense, especially in America. Because if you're that one guy that's cheering something on and everybody else going to look at you like, okay, mm-hmm. weirdo, like, there's that lack of expression here, like,
yeah.
Like, truthfully. Like, so, yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, but I know the exact Brazilian game show you're talking about because I watched it as well. And I was like, damn, Brazil showed up. And
that energy was crazy.
Dude, and Ed Boon like filmed a whole thing introducing Kano in Portuguese. when they were showing off Kano in Mortal Kombat 11, I think. So the fact that, like, Ed Boon went as far as to, like, do the entire thing in Portuguese was sick. And, like, you know. Seeing NRS kind of share the show love in that sense was also really sick. So, like, it goes both ways where NRS is showing love in Brazil, like, showing love back, man. Actually, all the regions, dude. Like, I was shocked that we didn't have, like, the Chilean twins run up, like, 1 and 2 like they did at Evo this past year, I think.
Final Combat?
Yeah. The
you talking about, like, first and second?
Yeah. I thought they were gonna be first and second like they were at Evo this past year.
Yeah, no. This is a different game, different things to adjust, a different pressure too. Because, like, there was some people like, "Boy, are they nervous?" I'm like, "This is the first time in 5 years, the last Final Combat, well, 2020, so 4 years, the last Final Combat we had, pro competition we had, was 4 years ago. All these players have been doing, like, their thing, like, in their own set, but they've never been in a world-class setting with literally the best of each region in this sense and never had to go along this pressure, especially with a person like Sonic on the Horizon 2. They've never dealt with that. There were definitely nerves in there, and there was definitely people that was definitely shaking in their boots. I tell people this all the time. It is different when you are in a world tour setting and you're in a finale setting because stakes are higher and there's a lot more. It's like it's something. If you haven't experienced before, you could be on the Evo stage and all that, but, like, being on the, like, a thing set only for you, like that world finals, it's different. It's definitely different from you. I'm not taking away from Evo, but there's a different feeling from Evo being on a Tekken World Tour final, the Capcom Cup finale in top 8 versus Evo top 8. It definitely is.
Yeah. No, and what's really funny is, like, that doesn't hit you until you're on stage and doing it.
Literally.
And by that time, it's way too late.
Like, god damn, the lights are on me. The people are watching. There's people cheering me on. There's people cheering them on. I've just realized who my opponent is. This is actually crazy. The moment can definitely get big for a lot of people.
Yeah. So, but hey, here's hoping that, like, next year, less nerves all around. But I wanted to ask you specifically about some stuff about Mortal Kombat 1. So, Mortal Kombat 1 is a huge, huge departure from kind of how the game has played in the past.
Indeed.
How do you feel about it?
Change is good because you need to change so you can figure out what you want to use your direction for the future. I always tell people, you can't say that you want different in your life and you're not willing to go through change to make that happen. You got to change something in order to, if you want different outcomes in your life. So for MK1, it's the most casual out of all the fighting games I do admit, out of all the FGC games, it's one of the most casual base, and a lot of them have never been introduced to a tag fighter. Me, I played Dragon Ball. I played a little Marvel, but I played Dragon Ball heavy. Of Dragon Ball Fighters. Mm-hmm. So I understood the tag elements. I understand how assist fighter works. A lot of people don't understand the fact that you can play like Az and they have an assist cover you. They've never experienced that before. Yeah. So that's why a lot of the fan base was pretty much split down the line. alongside of, it was definitely a rough start because we didn't have crossplay. Guilty Gear had crossplay, Street Fighter had crossplay, Tekken 8 has crossplay. Off rip, we didn't have crossplay. It's already bad enough that we're already split when it comes to like the, as a group already. So you got your Xbox players, your PC players, and your PlayStation players. Now that we don't have crossplay in a new game, that's tough. Thank God they added in later, and we can we have that, and it's pretty functional. But I will say it was a rough start. But right now, in the state of the game, of course, you got to have your top tier characters and everything like that. But I really do like the state of the game. It's really nice. I wish people give it another chance because I do admit, first look, I can definitely see why people will turn their backs away and look away from the game. I completely understand. Mm-hmm. But now I say it's a fleshed out game and it is better. And it's definitely some place that is definitely going to even improve even more. And it's more developed, I will say. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I 1000% agree with you, especially because it's something so new to mm-hmm. not necessarily new to Mortal Kombat, because I guess they had like the tag mode in MK9. But I think because it's focused so heavily on it, I feel like it still needs to, like, the community needs to adjust to it a little bit because it's such a crazy, crazy departure, especially because I think the biggest complaint between MKX and MK11 was that Mortal Kombat 11 was a lot slower, right? Because MKX was just so rushdown heavy.
Man, they was flying. People was, we gotta talk about this real quick. Y'all was flying across the world for first to two MKX. That is fucking insane, brother. Holy shit. And I was watching that. It was entertaining as hell. Oh, yeah. I wasn't going through that. They was, but like, holy shit. But yeah, it's definitely like a change of pace where I say MKX was like, well, a peak for a lot of people. It definitely got for production and everything like that. Like everyone mm-hmm. remembers Fatal 8 and how like the invitational stuff happened, and it had definitely had a lot of momentum. MK11 only left a lot of people a bad taste in the mouth because it was a great game, but because when quarantine hit and they had to sadly stop support on the game, people got kind of sick of it, and then like it got stale to a lot of people, so that left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth, especially when there was a lack of communication from, you know, and arrest to us. So that's understandable. You know, a lot of people, unfortunately, like, rest in peace to all of those, but a lot of us lost someone during that quarantine mm-hmm. or that COVID time. So it was rough. So when it came to communication, so it was like that with a mixture of like emotions and whatnot, it definitely it hurt it. And then MK1 came out abruptly, crazily, and with a whole new system that people like was like, whoa, this is really different from MK from what it usually is, like you had said, a whole different departure. So it is definitely like that. Like, I see the game speed you talking about, and it's definitely something that certain people are used to. And there's the reason why the community is split up the way it is. But like I said, we're given time when people like really try to, like, it's too many people that hop on the bandwagon and say, as soon as they hear, oh, that person says it's disappointing, okay, I'm not gonna play it. Why not try it yourself? You don't know what your favorite piece of cake was until you tried it. You didn't know your favorite flavor of ice cream until you tried it. You got to try it yourself. You can't always go off of where everyone else reviews it, because you might have missed out on the best thing in your life. And I'm talking about just MK-wise, but that's the best thing in your life because you listened to what someone else said. Don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 1000%, especially like recently too with I feel like the FGC is kind of getting to the point where like there's a lot of people who just spectate, which is a great thing. It's a wonderful thing, right? Like, people just spectating. I never would have thought, like, if you would have asked me like even like 6 years ago that somebody would go to Evo or somebody would go to a tournament just to watch, I would have thought you were crazy. But now that's like
it's
what happens.
Crazy, actually, because like I legit at Combo Breaker 2023 when I went up there was this guy who came up to be like, yo, what's going on? I was like, oh, he was like, oh yeah, you do Coliseum with Aqua. I'm just a random YouTube viewer. I just came to watch this for the first time. This is amazing. I'm like, you don't have any like social anything like that? He's like, I just really just came to just watch this place. This Combo Break is amazing. These events are amazing. And I've been seeing that a lot. As you say, I've just seen that a lot more. Like, we have a lot more people. One of my best friends, actually, she actually just straight up got into the scene because of quarantine. She was like, all right, what's going on? I used to dabble with Mortal Kombat. What goes on with this? She found ESL doing for MK11, the online only weekly brackets, and just started just literally, she said, oh, she's like, this Evo? I'm going to go to Evo. And she just was walking around Evo by herself, just having a great time. Like, it's so crazy how many viewers are out there for real. Like, I do agree with that.
Yeah. But unfortunately, like, the one bad side is since there are people who don't go to compete, like, there's a lot of people who just take other people's words at face value, right? I 1000% agree with what you put it so eloquently. Like, you never knew what your favorite slice of cake was until you tried it. I'm gonna keep that one.
You never do. No problem. No, you can take it. Because I probably stole it from someone else anyway. So yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, imitation is the greatest form of flattery, man.
Yes, it definitely is. You're not lying about it.
So we are a little over. Are you okay with me asking like one or two more questions?
Oh, no, I don't mind at all. I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling.
Okay, sick.
As long as you don't mind me taking a swig of water.
Do it up. So with what we were talking about, how it took Mortal Kombat like a little bit of time to catch some steam. What do you see Mortal Kombat 1 being this time next year? Like, do you have any predictions, as it were, or any expectations?
I really hope the fan base grows, but it's so tough right now when Twitter and social media has this sense of when something is already getting negative views, people don't try it themselves. Like, for example, a lot of people write off Cyberpunk 2077, mm-hmm. Because of the bugs that happened in the beginning. And now it's a very solid game because of, like, you know, all the patches and whatnot. But, like, how long it took to get to that point, people, like, look at that wise. So, like, I would like to see more people give it a chance if possible. I definitely see it being more developed and more fleshed out because across the board, this is some of the most balanced fighting games we've had ever. Like, Street Fighter VI was one of the most balanced fighting games I've ever seen in my life. So the point is, like, how do you buff anybody? Because like for example, like when we saw Lily and Zangief, for example, they was like, okay, they're just slightly on the weaker end of the characters, but it was like, what do you give them that you don't make them now instantly top five? Because that's how balanced the game is at this point in time. That's how I feel about most of the cast of MK. Mm-hmm. Strive, for the most part, I feel like is in that category too. And then Tekken with the heat system definitely makes everything's equalized as well. Bro, we saw Kuma in Grand Finals of DreamHack Dallas. That was, like, legit. Holy hell. We see a character that's literally, like, in amongst the online rankings, the least five of the most used characters, Kuma was actually in Grand Finals. Like, so we definitely in a state in the game where every game is, like, in a fair playing field, so... It's just a beautiful time. It truthfully is a beautiful time. So I feel like just more people just need to give it a chance and stop listening to what everyone else says and just try things for yourself. Because it's just, like you said, it's too many people that take things at face value, just listen to what everyone else says. I'm like, bro, you have different interactions, but you have a different perspective than everyone else, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, perspective is key. Perspective is key. If I draw a six on the ground right now opposite of us, it's going to look like a six to me, but it's going to look like a nine to you. Like, come on, think. People don't do that, so
yeah, dude. And everybody's brain is wired differently, right? Like, that's something that we all have to it's difficult to remember that for some reason. It's oddly tricky. But to your point about the games being super balanced, we saw a combo breaker, El Shakote, winning with Lily, who everybody says is the worst character in the game.
I was happy for my boy.
Yeah,
I was happy for my... Actually, I never thought she was the worst. She was the first character I learned. I learned her on Modern because I knew she was gonna be dumb. Ooh. I knew that character. I was like, she's one. I'm like, I know she's gonna be weak right now, but she is one buff away.
Mm-hmm.
One buff. Well, I know she's gonna be stupid. So she's the first character I learned on Modern because I wanted to see what she did, and I was like, man, this this is crazy. This is actually insane.
Oh yeah. Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah. El Shakote is also a Midwest guy, right?
Yeah, he's Michigan.
Oh, cool. So since last year, because I think Just the Kid took...
He also dabbled in MK too.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So interesting. So Street Fighter has been defended in the home turf at Combo Breaker since last year, because last year Just the Kid won it, and this year... That's pretty sick.
That's technically so.
Yeah, and then the year before... not the year before that. Was it the year before that they had the Midwest versus West Coast? When was that?
Yeah, we did. It was that's when Just a Kid went crazy.
Yeah.
I remember. Ham can definitely probably attest for that. Ham definitely has the details of that because he probably won some money that weekend. Not gonna lie. But yeah, that was actually insane.
Yeah, the FGC stock exchange was popping off, I'm sure.
Man, nothing better than side bets at events. Like, looking at side bets during the actual state, like, it's a beautiful sight. Oh, I love offline so, but I cannot wait for CEO. It's gonna be such a great time,
dude. Yeah, so you're gonna be there. Do you have any predictions for like who's gonna take some tournaments?
Street Fighter Tekken is hard because if you guys do not know, the top two get flown out for EWC. That counts towards Esports World Cup. So it's gonna be it's really slipped a lot, and it's also a Tekken World Tour event for Tekken as well, alongside it being EWC for top two. So that is like, I don't know how to call that, because I saw JDCRs coming. It's some heavy hitters coming from Tekken and Street Fighter, and just because it's top two compared to DreamHack Dallas and DreamHack Summer being top eight, get in top two being that cutthroat. Whoever gets third is salty.
Oh,
whoever loses finals is like, oh, I'm gonna find you and buy you a shot, brother. Like, oh, I know you're gonna be upset. That's not gonna be good. But yeah, it's I could not call Tekken and I could not call Street Fighter, because dude's coming. Well, dude's already in, and Men is already in, and then Punk is already in.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So it's really the foreigners just trying to get in. A lot of those cases, and I don't think we have a single American in Tekken thus far, actually.
I don't think so.
Off the top of my head, I don't think there's a single American actually in the Tekken for EWC.
I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember which American made it the farthest, and I think it was like Joey Fury or Joe.
Joey Fury
and Joe Crush had to play each other. Yeah, I remember.
So Joey Fury got ninth at Dallas, and Joe Crush got ninth in Dallas. He got 13th, and I believe Joey Fury also went to Summer, and he also got. I think he got 13th there too. Yeah, we've had some Americans get close, but yeah, not no cigar.
Yeah. No cigar. Well, let's stick with MK then. Let's stick with MK. Like, are there any tomorrow. Like any big killers coming to MK in?
Oh yeah, it's Dylock, Rewind, Too Easy, Samij. Just off the top of my head, I know those guys. I have Dylock. I predict Dylock could take that.
Dylock.
Yeah, we have. I think they said it was like 120 people signed up. So it could be some hand killers there too. It's always at least one person, like at enemy bracket. You go to the name. He's like, who the hell took out? Who is that? And I'm talking about for any tournament. You're just like, who is that? Who's this? Like, for example, like I don't want to go too off to a tangent again, but like Mena made that tweet about the person that he played in first round and he lost, and he was complaining. He's like, what does CD matter? I retweet. I'm gonna be fucking honest, bro. There's just a lot of good fucking people with Street Fighter right now, if we being real. Like, back in the day, you remember back in the day, you didn't have to worry about anything until top 32 when you got into brackets. Now, it's dead as top 196 is literally a bloodbath.
Yeah.
Like, in the, especially big tournaments like that. Like, it's not top 32 anymore. You get to 192, it's like, oh my God, everyone in my path is like, shit. It's too much, bro. It's really too much now. There's a lot of good fighting game players now. The skill gap has closed so much because you don't have people gatekeeping the arcades anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't have, and you have all the YouTube content for people to look up like strats and whatnot and share tech via Twitter and YouTube. Like it's not, the skill gap is closing. A lot of people are just good now. It's just truthfully that.
Yeah. No, dude. And the fact that like you can just watch replays of everybody now, it's like so widely accessible. It's so good. I love this kind of stuff, man. And you know, nowhere else can you get something like that but the FGC, where it's like everybody, like all you have to, everybody can play. You just show up.
Anybody can cook.
Everybody has to pay the same entrance fee. Like that to me is like my favorite fucking thing about the FGC, is like everybody can play. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're like just there for fun or whether you're a Daigo. Everybody pays the same entrance fee.
It's actually amazing. I love it.
So Tento, it is getting to about that time. But before we started the stream here, you said you're really bad about plugging your stuff, so I'm gonna make you plug your stuff. Where can people find you?
All my socials are pretty much at either Tento4 or Tento4_. Twitch is at Tento4. Everything else is at Tento4_. So feel free to follow me on that. IG, Twitter, Twitch. Like I say, I have a lot of throwback streams. I have a PS2 and a GameCube right next to me, so I'll go back and do throwback games quite frequently. And then we crazy do watch parties. If I'm not going to an event, I did a watch party for DreamHack Dallas. I did a watch party for DreamHack Summer, and I get my insights on things like that. If you want to come chill with me, I talk shit. We have fun. I'm trying to go to my YouTube as well. YouTube is at Tento4. I've been more on that. I've been trying to make more shorts and trying to be more active on there, and I will be more disciplined to be active on there. I will grow as a consecrated. I will be great. So we're going to start doing that. But I do appreciate everyone who's shown love and all that. Most MK content, no, on my YouTube, I'm actually trying to do like more playthroughs. It's going to be like probably my shorts will be like stream segments and like things about the FGC, like catching up wise. But like my actual channel, I'm probably going to do like more like this. I feel like it's too many like younger kids that don't know about like the classic PS2 games we have, like Sly Cooper and like Ratchet and Clank. So I want to play like those games from like my perspective, because like, I either haven't even played some of those games or I haven't played some of those games in a long time and have a fresh face for that too. So that's what I want to do for my YouTube channel. But there's going to be some MK videos and probably Street Fighter videos here and there too.
I just wanted to pull this out because you're talking about retro games. The best game ever made right here, man.
Oh my God, Jet Set Radio. I got a whole PS2 stack right here next to me. I'm not even kidding. Like,
dude, all
right,
let's compare. I have my PS2 stack over here too.
You got Prince of Persia? Sly Cooper. I got Sly Cooper 3. Here's Armageddon.
Ooh. I got Battlefront 2.
I got Battlefront 2, and I got the GOAT game right here.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. Hit and Run's good.
I also found Star Fox Assault on GameCube. Cost me $60, but I got it. I was happy as hell.
Dude, I got the best SSX one. Don't at me.
Oh, my God. I found one. Found one on GameCube. I need to get that as well. I got True Crime.
I remember playing the shit out of True Crime.
Like, my whole PS2 stack is like, I got multiple. I don't want to knock over the sack. I got TMNT, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3.
Damn. I remember playing the shit out of Spider-Man 2, man. Is that the PlayStation 2 one? Right,
I got I actually got the classic. So I got the Spider-Man 2.
Dude, right here.
I have the so GOAT.
Ooh. I also have Gex 3.
Oh, yeah. Myself.
I also have I bought this like recently, Umjammer Lammy. This game is so sick. If you haven't played it, it's like it's the sequel to Parappa that everybody wants. Shadow the Hedgehog. Oh man.
Yeah.
I've heard so much about Shadow the Hedgehog, but I've never played it.
I definitely have my collection of my PS2 and GameCube games, and I do like to do throwback streams on occasion to play those.
We'll have to get together and play something sometime soon then.
We will play some
I don't know, like fucking Battlefront 2 or something. I don't know. Like
Battlefront 2 sound up, bro. I need it. Yes, the good one, please.
Pathos, I do have your copy of D. Pathos is my mod. He sent me a copy of D like in 2013, which is like a PlayStation 1 game where you have 2 hours to beat the game or else you just lose. That game is wild.
WMOD.
Wild. All right. Well, Lord Tento, look, I'm gonna give you a follow so I can go hang out and learn about fighting games and classic games, because honestly, like, that's right up my alley too. So, but I'm super happy you came here to chat with me a little bit. I wish we had more time, but unfortunately, I got some shit going on, so I have to sign off.
I hate that.
With that said, though, can we schedule you again? We'll keep this conversation going.
Of course. Oh, hell yeah! I would love to be back here anytime.
Hell yeah. All right, then we'll schedule something. We'll get you back on here. We'll talk some shit, talk not shit, eat, share some pizza, play some classic games, and just, you know, shoot the shit. There we go. That's what I wanted to say. Shoot the shit, not talk
shit. Shoot the shit. I like that. Shoot the shit.
All right, and that is Tento4. Tento4 underscore, except for Twitch, where it's twitch.tv/Tento. There you are in the chat. All right. Tento, any final thoughts before we depart?
Drink water, take your vitamins, and make sure you love those who are around you. Make sure you tell them you love them and hug them, please. Please hug them.
That's a really good point. I'm going to go do that. And you have safe travels because you're going to be at CEO. So safe travels.
I leave on Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, safe travels. Get there safe and enjoy that beach for me, will you? Because I went last year and I barely went to my hotel room. It was either the convention center or I was just laying on the beach. That trip.
And Jabali Land too, yeah.
Jabali Land, damn. I'm missing out. I'm missing out. All right.
Hey, it's going to be nice. You're going to go next year.
I'll be watching out for you. All right, man. Thank you so much. We'll get you back on the show soon.
All right, no problem. Peace.
Peace out. All right, ladies and gents, that was Tento. You can find him everywhere at Tento4 underscore. I'm really happy we got him, man. He did such a great job at Final Combat, and I think he fit the vibe so well. So I'm really happy we got him here to talk a little bit. Very, very fun. Big thanks to Tento. Big thanks to, man, Tento gifting subs in here. Man, Tento, dude, everybody give Tento a round of applause, will you? Will you? Thank you, Tento. I appreciate you, man. We'll definitely have you back on the show ASAP. But for now, we got to get on out of here. Bison is out tomorrow. Keep a tabs on the Twitter. And I'll let you know when I'm going live. For those of you listening to the audio version of this podcast, thank you. For those of you listening to the audio version, for those of you on YouTube, for those of you here on Twitch, for those of you everywhere, thank you so much for being here. Some free ways that you can help support the show is if you're listening to the audio version, you can give us a review, preferably a 5-star one. And you could say things like, hey, this show is great, and I listen to it on the daily. I'm kidding. Please don't listen to me on the daily. If you're on YouTube, you can subscribe, and you can also give this a thumbs up. That's always fun. If you're on Twitch, just a follow. And if you feel so inclined to subscribe, do it. But, you know, I don't recommend it. But that's going to be all for me today. Once again, big thanks to Tento for being here, for gifting some subs, and for chatting with us. This was really fun. Big thanks to Automatic for popping on, and Automatic for playing some Chain Together with me earlier today. Big thanks to, I saw Ham Jams in the chat. Ham Jams, it's good to see you. I still hate your Geef, and I'm still salty about that match. I don't want to play you again. I'm just going to be salty for the rest of my life, and that's okay. I'm happy to see you here, Ham Jams. Animate Sam, drew some of our emotes, so please thank them. See Forest, Later Ragon, Squidly, Pathos. I saw Automatic. I don't know. There's too many. There's a lot of you. I appreciate you all. I'm out of here for the day. I'll catch you all tomorrow. Thank you, guys. And until then, it's going to be Tuesday soon because Bison's not out yet. But anyway, I'll see y'all on the next one. Peace out.